Good morning. Welcome to Little Swatara this morning. I have a few announcements I'd like to share with you, and I'm going to ask Jenny to come up here, and she has one she'd like to share.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for all your support. Our team is doing very well. We're just about at $6,000 of our goal to raise to send us to the Dominican. The candy orders have been phenomenal. I dream of caramels and chocolate every night. So keep the orders coming. We are taking orders till next Sunday, the 9th, and we will also be bringing some of the orders in. We'll try and have as many as we can ready for next Sunday to start picking up and paying for those, and we'll have a table in the back in the vestibule. We've spoken to Nicole, or we've heard from Nicole and Jason Hoover this past week, and they will have us all in a guest house. So we're all kind of excited about that. So we'll all be staying in an area in one common area and working from Santo Domingo, correct? All right, thank you.
I just want to highlight a few things. Today is the last day to order poinsettias for the Christmas season. And there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex for that. Next Sunday, during the Sunday school hour, will be the children's Sunday school program. So please plan on attending during the Sunday school hour next Sunday. And then I'm told there is a leadership team meeting at 7 o'clock Tuesday evening. That's a change. Usually there is no meeting in December, but there's some business has come up. So there will be a meeting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening for the leadership team. There's a lot of other announcements in the bulletin. I'm not going to go through those. Please take the time to look at those. Anybody else have any other announcements? I'm going to ask you to rise and join in the call to worship. It's printed in the bulletin. It is printed on two sides of the paper. So I will read and you will follow with the bold type in response. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us.
That we may be saved.
Uphold us, O God. Embrace us in your arms.
That we might be saved.
Uplift us, O God, with the promise of your word. Heaven and earth may pass away, but your word of truth remains. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. This world was put in place, and in your time became beautiful through the craftsmanship of your love. Remind us always, as we look at sunrise, landscape and tiny child, that at the center of all things is the creative love of God. When we had wandered far, in your perfect time, you embraced the prodigal within the security of your arms. Remind us always, as we look at pain caused and hardship endured, that at the center of all things is the forgiving love of God. In your time, saving God. You walked upon this earth, and in your time became one of us, to show what we could become. Remind us always, as we look at our lives, in comparison with yours, that at the center of all things is the saving grace of God. In your time, mighty God. You will come in glory, and in your time gather the harvest, from one end of this earth to the other. Remind us always, in times of plenty and in times of famine, that at the center of all things is the love and mercy of God. Amen.
Thank you. like to invite the children to come join me up front, please. Good morning.
Good morning.
Does anyone know what this picture represents?
It's a mountain. Or wait, they're people.
Anyone know?
No.
It's the Girl Scout emblem. Have you seen that before? No. Represents the Girl Scouts.
I've been in Girl Scouts, but I've never seen that symbol before.
No? How about this one?
Boy Scout.
Yeah, now that's the Boy Scout symbol. Mm. Yeah. Is anyone a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout here? Okay.
I used to be a Girl Scout.
Good. So both of these emblems, they represent something. They represent the motto, be prepared. The Girl Scout and Boy Scout motto means that a good scout must always be prepared, and this also relates to what I would like to share with you today. Today is a very special day. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and we have started the countdown to Christmas. There are many things that people do to get ready for Christmas. What do you do to get ready for Christmas?
We usually get advent calendars, Christmas tree, but this is something that my parents don't know. Every morning I wake up and I actually praise to Jesus to count down the 25 days.
Oh, you praise to Jesus every morning to count down the 25 days?
Yeah.
And some people do an advent calendar.
I do an advent calendar.
What else do you do?
We put up Christmas trees.
What else do we do to get ready for Christmas? Stockings.
How about lights? Does anyone put Christmas lights up?
Yeah. We also send out Christmas cards. We put up the tree, lights, decorations. And there's also a lot of shopping to do for some people, for family and friends. There's also a lot of cooking that needs to be done. Christmas cookies and candy, and all the food for Christmas dinner. Does anyone think of any others we missed? Do you want to know what my favorite thing to do is to get ready for Christmas?
What?
Is to bake Christmas cookies. Lots of them. I even brought some freshly baked chocolate chip cookies with me today because I love baking so much. While we are getting ready for Christmas, there is something else that we must be prepared for as well. Jesus promised that he would come again, and the Bible tells us that we must be watching and be prepared for his return. We all know when Christmas is coming. But when will Jesus come again? The Bible says that no one knows the hour of his return. Not even the angels who announced his birth know when he will come again. If we don't know when he's coming, how can we be prepared? How can we be prepared?
We can praise, and maybe we have to make something to bring him back. Kind of like we have, like in the North Mexico or Mexico, we have to put flowers on the ground to have their ancestors come back. So maybe we have to do something to help them get back.
That's a good idea. You know, if we want to be prepared for Jesus' coming, we must always be busy doing the things that he told us to do. We must be loving to God and loving to one another. It is fun and it's exciting to prepare for Christmas. Don't you agree? It's really exciting, isn't it? But we must also be prepared for the day when Jesus comes. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we love this season of the year. We love the preparation for the celebration of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us also remember that he is coming again and that you have told us to be prepared. Amen. And I would like you to take a cookie just to remind you of the preparation, not only for Christmas season, but for the return of Jesus. So you may take a cookie and go back to your seats.
Hey, did you know the chocolate chip is Pennsylvania State cookie?
I'll take one for my sister.
Okay, go ahead.
Right here, Evan.
Go ahead. Hey, question. Did you know that the chocolate chip is the state cookie?
Thank you.
to 2019. It's going to be here before we know it. One of the things I want to encourage us to do is to encourage, to build up, to uplift one another and praise God where praising God is due. And I think right now we should praise God with an applause for what he is doing through this senior choir. Could we do that? Amen. So blessed every time the senior choir sings. So blessed every time something's happening within this church and a ministry. And I am just so thankful this Christmas season as we prepare for the coming of the King for each of you. We do have many families upon our hearts. You may have heard about the Kenny Snyder family. Kenny Snyder passed away this past Sunday, and services were held this past Friday. So continue to keep the Kenny Snyder family in your prayer, as well as the Ruth Conover family and Lois Bone family. And one special prayer request this morning is for the Meyer family and the King family. Further details can't be given at this time, but we would just encourage you to pray fervently for the Meyer and the King family in this time. Any other prayer requests you'd like to lift up?
I'd like us to keep our son Tim in prayer. He has a problem with diverticulitis, and he'll be on the operating table about noon today.
Diverticulitis. We're just going to call that one surgery.
I think we should all think about a wonderful lady that's getting her foot fixed tomorrow that does a lot of awesome things here at our church. So we all should think about Pat tomorrow morning when she's getting her foot fixed.
Amen to that.
I had a joy to share too this morning. Thursday night I went to hear my first ever bluegrass concert. It was wonderful. I think mostly because Mark played piano and sang. Karen sang harmony, and Savannah was lead singer. So I was a proud mama and grandmother and mother-in-law that night, and I really enjoyed the concert. And we will appreciate your prayers for the Myers family and the King family. It is a tragedy that happened again at Lititz, and for all the students again in the school at Lititz.
Would you pray with me? God, we gather here together as a church family, and no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what is going on around us, we can still gather here today and we can proclaim that you are good. And so we thank you that your goodness flows over into our lives and provides us the grace, it provides us the mercy, it gives us the peace, the comfort, all that we need to traverse through this thing called life. So we just thank you, Father, for your presence here among us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that comforts us day in and day out. And we ask, Lord, that you would just continue to move among us, Lord, that you would continue to help us to uplift and to build one another up. And we just thank you, God, for so many ministries here in this church and for this senior choir before us, Lord. We just praise you, Lord, for who you are and what gifts and abilities you give all of us. And we just think of each one here this morning and just praise you, Lord, for what you do in each of their lives. And we just turn to the Lititz community right now, Lord. You know the tragedy they face, what they're facing even now. And I just lift up a very powerful, special prayer for the Myers and the King family right now, Lord, and wrap your loving arms around them. Give them all they need in this very moment, Lord, and just help them to be able to cope because they know the hope that they have in Jesus Christ, your Son. So thank you, Lord, for being with each of us and giving us that hope. We do think of Patty this morning and just lift her up in a very special way. Just thank you for the way in which you have gifted her to do so many abundant things among us, Lord, and especially at the cafe, and just bless her, Lord, and just bless her work among us, and just allow her foot procedure tomorrow to go well, that it would be successful and her foot would heal quickly, and that we can continue to just be a blessing to you, Lord, as we each are in our own way. And we just think of Tim this morning, Lord, and you know the diverticulitis that he has right now, Lord, the procedure he's going to be facing this day, and we just pray your peace would surround him. You would steady the hands of those that will be attending to him, and just give him a comfort and a peace that can only come through you, and be with his parents as well, Lord, and just bless them as they wait until after the procedure to know how things have gone. And just thank you, Lord, for modern medicine and the way it intercedes with the lives that we live here on this earth, Lord. But we do pray for those on our prayer list, Lord. You know the healing touch that they're longing for, Lord, and if it be your will for each one that is looking for that healing touch, I pray it be so in the name of Jesus Christ. But Lord, help us to carry through because of your goodness, because of the joy we have of our salvation, knowing that all this too shall pass, that one day we'll enter our kingdom eternal and there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, Lord, and we'll just be made whole, we'll be perfect, Lord, and just thank you for that knowledge as we go through this life, just pain and suffering and all those things that go with it. But there are so many joys. We've lost loved ones, but we know that peace that we have because of where they are in your presence right now. And what a wonderful place to be in your presence, Lord. And we just continue to lift up the Bone family, Lord. And we lift up Gail and Jim and the rest of the family, Lord. And we just lift up the Snyder family this morning. And just thank you, Lord, for giving us the comfort we need to be able to grieve and to go through that season of loss. And we just look forward to the Christmas season ahead. We thank you for the coming of your son Jesus as a child, and we know the life he lived, and we know, Father, as we attempt to live that life, we fall short, and so we know you offer us forgiveness, and we just come before you in these next few moments of silent prayer and ask for that forgiveness, and also lift up those prayers that are upon our hearts. Thank you for hearing our prayers during these next few moments. Lord, we do thank you for that forgiveness that was offered on the cross, that our sins have been atoned for once and for all. And Lord, when we keep turning back to those sins, I pray that you would turn us away from them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we look at that empty tomb and we know that you have conquered death, death itself. And so we need not fear death, but we can look forward to that time when our life on this earth comes to an end, for we will receive our salvation in full. So we look forward to that day, Lord. We're not afraid of it, Lord, and we just thank you for the legacies that we can continue in this life for those that have gone on before us. And we just thank you, Lord, for meeting us here in this place, for giving us all that we need, the supply and the provisions, Lord. And we just want to praise you with all that we have, not only here in this place, but with our lives as we go forth. So may we just continue to be a blessing to others as we continue to reach out to you, Lord. Fill us each day, make us new, and thank you for giving us wholeness. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When I look for offertory thought, I'm never quite sure where it comes from. This morning it came when I woke up in bed this morning, and the song the choir is going to sing, Who Will Welcome Him, was going through my mind for some reason. I guess it was the Lord speaking to me. I just want to share these words with you. Who will welcome him when he comes? Who will welcome the little one? Who will welcome him when he comes? Who will welcome God's son? And this next part is the one that really got to me. Who will be ready, cleansed from sin? Open your heart and let him in. Who will welcome him when he comes? Who are the chosen ones? The church family is the chosen ones, as the song will tell you later as we sing this song. And I got to thinking about that, and our offering is one way that we can open our hearts and let Christ in and share what we have so abundantly with others. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you and praise you. We thank you for the ability to be here this morning, to worship you, to celebrate this Christmas season, this beginning of Advent. And we just pray that as we bring these offerings before you, that they might be used to glorify your kingdom. And it's in your name we pray, amen. I was looking this morning on my phone at the order of worship. It said, scripture reading, Jeremiah 33. And I went, wait a minute. Pastor Matt's teaching from Jesus Said series. Jeremiah's in the Old Testament. There's no red text in there. So I'm curious to see how Matt gets what Jesus said from Jeremiah 33. But I'm going to share that with you. Jeremiah 33, verses 14 to 16. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
I really hope you noticed something this morning. There were rose petals beneath our feet as we made our way to our seats. I hope it made you feel like you were part of a processional. May they be a reminder to us that Jesus is coming. Just as the bride made her way to her husband yesterday, Jesus is coming among us, and the church is his bride. Advent literally means coming or arrival, beginning or start. Friends, we've entered a time where we are preparing for the arrival of Jesus. So what exactly do we do in preparation for him? Well, let's put it in modern day context. Imagine with me the most important person coming to your home. Maybe it's a president, the CEO of a company, some VIP or superstar like Carson Wentz. What are you going to do? I have a feeling we're going to clean up. We're going to make sure things are in order. I think we may look the best we can, hair combed, teeth brushed, and perhaps some perfume or cologne. We would be acting on our best possible behavior. Things are going to be as near to perfect as we can make them. Am I right? So think of it like that with Jesus. Advent is a time for cleaning up our lives. It's like looking within our hearts, noticing where it's not pumping right, where there's plaque buildup, valves not functioning, and doing what we can to fix it. Now, it's rather easy to notice a messy house. It's cluttered, there's dust, there's cobwebs, there's dirt on the floor, there's even fingerprints on the wall. But the heart has this way of being conformed. And what I mean by that is the world can shape us. We can easily go along with what it says, but God tells us not to conform to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed. Now, I don't know about you, but transformation can be a lot like open heart surgery. We could say our heart is heavy. We could say our heart is under a lot of stress. So during Advent, but really it's all the time, we pay attention to what our heart is saying. Remember, what goes in must come out. If we're negative, we're talking trash, we're gossiping, we're cheating, we're lying, we're cheating, we're stealing, or acting in any way in opposition to Christ, perhaps it's time to make an appointment with your Creator. But like any surgery, we need to prepare. Now, I'm only 42, so I haven't had this done yet, but I hear that a colonoscopy for a guy is not all that great. But there's a liquid that you drink that cleanses your system. So I wonder how many of us today have some cleansing that needs to be done. If we look at our scripture, there's a lot we can learn from Jeremiah 33. But as we read the context, we'll see that Jeremiah was actually going through a very stressful time. In fact, he was in prison. King Zedekiah put him there because he criticized him. Imagine that kind of power for a second. Your King Zedekiah and Jeremiah calls you a name. Let's enter into the dialogue. King Z, what'd you call me? Brother J, oh, nothing, but you know you are. And just like that, King Z tells Brother J, go to jail. I'm not going to take your smack talk anymore. But in reality, here's what he did. He delivered a message from the Lord telling the king that the Lord is giving his kingdom to the enemies because he has been an unjust ruler. Today's lingo to the king, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. So there happens to be a war going on as well. Jerusalem is surrounded by the Babylonians. The year before, Jerusalem falls into their hands. Imagine the stress of Jeremiah, a prophet who cares about the nation, to see the chaos in front of his very eyes. That is the context of the passage. Now let's see if there's anything we can learn and apply to our lives. When we clean our homes, we may use a broom. We may use a vacuum cleaner, we may use mops, dust rags, and even some fancy cleaning products. But if we look closer at this passage, we may be able to identify three items Jeremiah used to help himself and the people of Israel to cleanse themselves. So first, let's look at the end result. Remember, Jeremiah says in verse 14, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. In other words, he says, look, behold. So, friends, when we're facing heart issues, we need to be looking in the right place. But our focus is often on the here and now. But when we turn our focus to the end result, we start to lose the stress. Our hearts begin to get lighter. You see, Jeremiah finds himself surrounded by this serious mess. The king, the government, they're in chaos. His life's a mess. He's in prison. There's a war going on. The people are discouraged. They might even be terrified. They don't know what's going to happen. Sound familiar? And Jeremiah simply says, look at the end. His message was a message of hope. He says this while he's still in prison. Friends, hope is the best way to clean out the junk in our lives. When we have hope, what consumes us, what gets distracted from us, the hope blurs. The hope makes foggy. It is something that means even more than what's happening. We could say hope helps us to cope. So as we consider the life of Jesus, Advent is only the beginning. It's not the end. Keep looking ahead. Look to the cross. Look to the tomb. There's even more life, friends, on the other side. But meanwhile, in this life, many suffer. Many feel alone. Many deal with pain and cope with stress on a daily basis. But in Christ Jesus, we have our hope. Advent is only the beginning. Let's not forget the end. What we are dealing with in the here and now goes away. It disappears. Friends, even though we can't physically experience the eternal, the perfect life until we get there, we can spiritually, mentally, and emotionally experience it right now as we look at the end. Call it perspective to handle the present. Secondly, we can trust in God's promises. Verse 14, we remember, I will fulfill the promise I made. This is one of the places God says that he will fulfill the promise made to the house of Israel and Judah. In fact, the reality is the entire Bible is about promises. We have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. What do you think the word testament means? Promise. Hence, Jesus becomes known as the promised one. Because Jeremiah said in verse 15 that the Lord says, in those days at that time, I will make a righteous branch to sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. That's why Jesus is called the Son of David, because he was a branch that sprung forth from him. Friends, when we keep our promises, we are reflecting the image of God. The reason we reflect God's image is because we were made in God's image. So think about that. The next time we break a promise, whose image are we actually scarring? So for an Advent challenge, if you will, when we make a promise, let's care enough to keep it. To fulfill it, because that's what God is like. He's faithful and he keeps his promises. Do we realize there are more than 7,000 promises in the Bible? Are you still looking for Christmas gifts? Go to your local Joy bookstore and find the Book of Promises. Maybe it's not even a Christmas gift, it's just a way to stay encouraged. Every day, open it and read a verse and help yourself deal with the stress and find yourself blessed. And friends, the final way to be ready for Jesus is cleaning what we'll call our inner house. It's concerning righteousness. It's another way of saying being moral, being upright or just. Jeremiah says in verse 16, in those days Judah will be saved. Jerusalem will live in safety, and it will be called the Lord our righteousness. Now, looking at Jerusalem in modern day, it's not really happening. But that day will come, and we will call it the second coming of Christ, the day salvation becomes complete. Jesus said, I am the Lord our righteousness. But when we peek around the globe, one of the universal stress generators is self-righteousness. And here's the thought behind that notion. In some way, we think we can earn our way to heaven by being righteous, by doing the right thing, saying the right thing, making the right choices. But friends, no matter how hard we try, we simply cannot do it on our own. The Bible even says we are fallen beings. And in Romans 3:10 says there is no one who is righteous, not even one. So in today's mindset, perhaps consider the 12-step program. The first step is to admit that you are powerless. It may be what we call hitting rock bottom, but then the next step says to depend on a higher power. Friends, what I've seen is there may be an addiction to stress, and we cover it well with this cheerfulness, but somehow we're stressed at the same time. I can say this because I was one of them, and maybe sometimes I still am. You'll have to ask my wife. But the good news is, we don't have to be righteous ourselves. You see, friends, we are already righteous because we believe in Jesus Christ, and his name is the Lord our righteousness. Isaiah would say in chapter 45, verse 24, only in the Lord it shall be said of me, our righteousness and strength. Sometimes we look at the end and we worry, have I done enough? Did I try hard enough? But only in the Lord it shall be said of me, our righteousness and strength. Only in the Lord. So don't try this at home or in any other way. Realize Advent is only the beginning. And the beginning for us, friends, is committing our lives to Jesus Christ. And at the end, there are blessings according to God's promises. And in this process called life, a peace of mind, all because of the Lord, our righteousness. How many of you have ever received an invitation in the mail that guaranteed a gift just for showing up? I used to sell, well, I should say I tried to sell, Mountain Pure Water Systems. The company promised a gift if you let us show up at your door and demonstrate the product. At the end of the sales pitch, I would call into the company and say, "What's the best deal I can give this family?" That was the point for the family to know the gift was coming. Well, this particular day I left the gift in the car. I forgot all about it. That was until I thanked the couple with a handshake for having me in their home, and I started to walk away. It was in an instant there were two voices that sounded like booms of thunder saying, "What about our gift?" I turned around, I apologized like never before, and I got their gift from the car. And let me tell you, I never thanked God more in my life for helping me to remember to put that gift in my car, because I forgot it so many times. Now, typically, when we get an invitation like that, we consider it a scam, or we think there's some type of strings attached. But the only way to really find out if the promise is true is to respond. It's the same way, friends, with the promise of God. We have to accept and respond to his invitation. We remember God made a promise to Abraham that through him he would have a great name and countless descendants like the stars. But remember, in order for that to happen, Abraham had to leave his home and journey to a foreign place. The good news for us today is that just as Abraham found out the promise to be true, we can realize God's promise is true. They're anchored in his unchanging, his unfailing love. We simply realize God's promises never fail. Jeremiah spoke of a future full of blessings, a time when the nation would be restored from captivity and the righteous branch of David would rule over a united monarchy. You see, Jeremiah gave hope of the blessings that the nation would experience peace and prosperity. This final proclamation is the fulfilled promise that the city of Jerusalem would be rebuilt as a holy city that never again would be destroyed. There These were the promises that were greater than anything Israel had ever experienced before. Friends, the coming of Christ as a baby in that manger is only the beginning. It is when Christ comes again that every single promise of God is fulfilled. The kingdom of the Messiah will be established. This, of course, this righteous one is Jesus Christ, whom the prophet foretold as the spring of living water, the good shepherd, the righteous branch of David's line, the redeemer, the Lord, our righteousness, and the agent of the new covenant. Perhaps today, friends, there's preparations we need to make. There's some inner house cleaning we need to do. Or perhaps today is a start. It's a new beginning. You've been waiting to make that promise come true in your life, and now is the time. Friends, here's what we know. We can see the fulfillment of God's I promise if we will, by faith, accept God's invitation. Call it salvation, call it being born again, call it getting saved, or call it profession of faith. The invitation is always there. It is here now, and it's up to us to respond. So I invite you to close your eyes, and I invite you to consider the end. Has Jesus entered our hearts? Is there evidence he's Lord of our lives? Or is there preparations and cleaning that need to be done? With our eyes closed, I invite us to respond to Jesus this morning in unison out loud. Lord God, I've made mistakes. I've made a mess of my life. I need you to clean me up and make me whole. I accept your invitation, and I respond in faith, making you Lord of my life. Thank you for dying for me, for forgiveness of sin. Help me now live for you, believing in the resurrection. And I look forward to my end, being with you in heaven. Amen. Maybe you've said that prayer 1,000 times in your life. But maybe there's just one person here today that's made that promise, that acceptance of the invitation from God for the very first time. And I don't want you to journey this life with Jesus alone. I want you to see the church family before you and realize that we're here to support one another, to encourage and to help one another go through this process called life. We'll never be righteous, for only Jesus gives us that. But may we be mindful of one another, being able to see where it is in our hearts that may need to be cleansed. And may we help one another, spur on to continue living for Christ and accepting that invitation as we begin this Advent season. Amen. Let us go forth in the confidence of God's promises, that he never leaves us, never forsakes us. He goes with us from this place, and he enables us to stand on a firm foundation, the solid rock. On Jesus, may we go forth sharing his love with others. Go in peace. Amen.